I'd like to welcome to the program Frédéric Mousseau, who is the Policy Director for Oakland Institute. It's a U.S.-based policy think tank on land and agriculture. You have a new report out called Surrendering Our Future, and it's about an international conglomerate which has threatened land rights, food security, and a wetland preserve. But here's a simple question. The company that you discuss in this report, Senbil Senetanol, what does it do, and who are they?
These are two very unclear points in their project. First, it's a conglomerate with interests from Italy and Europe, but also one of the companies involved in the project is a subsidiary of a shell company registered in New York. And that's one of the concerns. We don't really know who they are, and it is a concern for Senegal to have such a big portion of land given away to a company whom you don't even know who the investors and the interests are. Second question on which we are really calling for answers is what do they do? Because they have said initially they wanted to grow biofuels for export markets in Europe, but it seems they are trying different kind of crops and nobody there, whether it is the government or the local communities, knows exactly what they intend to grow. And this is another concern because Senegal has a very ambitious goal in terms of self-sufficiency on its food supply, but it doesn't even know what the company is going to grow for this project.
According to your report, 20,000 hectares in Nidiel, a rural area in Senegal where a number of Peul communities live, is being affected. How does this land that's been leased by this Senbil Senetanol affect the livelihood of the pastoralists who have been living on this land for decades?
First, very interestingly, when we found the map created by the local administration to prepare the project, we realized that on this map there were only 6 of the 40 villages that are actually present. So 34 of the villages present with 9,000 people living there have been just completely overlooked by the local officials. People there are, as you say, Peuls, they are pastoralists, herders. They have an extensive use of the land, and they use this land mostly for their cattle. They have altogether 40,000 animals using this land. And this land is also very important as a source of timber wood, wood for cooking, but also water. And this is a very important concern for the women who are there, who have really expressed concerns, because with this project, they have to walk miles and miles to gather water for their homes. It affects really the people in so many different ways. For what the people say there, it's really the destruction of their livelihood. It's not this land was just lying there with nobody using it. It is land that is critical for the livelihood and survival of the people there. And if the project goes on and is planned, unfortunately, many of these villages will have to be displaced. People will be forced to go and look for another place to live.
Usually when a conglomerate comes to a country, they offer to give things back. Is Senbil Senetanol giving back to the communities? Or, since the Senegalese government has given its okay to lease the land, are they helping these communities?
That's really something we have found all over Africa, that these international companies come and make all sorts of promises that we're going to bring development, we're going to build infrastructures, you'll have schools, you'll have clinics, so welcome our project, is going to be good for you. But the reality is very different. First, all these promises are made verbally in some meetings or maybe made to the government, but there's nothing on paper, there's nothing contractual, there's nothing that really can enforce these promises. And so far, what we have seen is instead of construction of infrastructures for the communities, it's rather destruction of livelihoods with fences which have been built and really cut access to the land and to the water sources for the people. It's also a very problematic irrigation canals that have been built for the project in which 3 kids have drowned already and they have no protection and they have just been built like this without any protection and sanitization to the local population. So right now the only infrastructures that have been coming are a real threat for the livelihood and even the life of the people.
What do you think needs to be done to stop this destruction of these people's way of life, but also the destruction of the land?
First thing to do is to consider the people. You can't do development without the people. You can't do agriculture without farmers. And unfortunately, in Senegal, like in many other African countries, governments seem to believe that they're going to bring development and economic growth by giving away their resources to foreign companies. They should instead first sit with their own people and see with them what can be done in terms of development. In this case, the local communities have for many years produced plans and requests because they know what they want to do. They know how they can improve their livelihoods, and they have strong demands around that, but these demands are not considered. So that's really the key problem. Certainly so much can be done to help pastoralists all across Africa with working on veterinary services, helping access to market, helping processing. There are so many investments that could be beneficial for the countries and the people, but it should be working with them instead of working against them, as it is the case right now.
Frédéric Mousseau, the policy director for Oakland Institute, a U.S.-based policy think tank on land and agriculture, thank you so much for joining us today.